you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, Gypsy Gang? We are back for the first episode of our new content series called Gypsy Gang Worldwide. Doing this basically because this whole corona thing has made it quite challenging for guests to come in the studio. So we figured that we would open up the Skype video call Zoom world. So we're going to be calling people into the studio. The reason it's kind of taken so long to do it is because technically it was quite hard. Like I wasn't really happy with the Skype stuff. The quality just wasn't up to scratch. So we've kind of put in a lot of work and we've come up with this new, we're using like this new software. We've kind of redone all the internals of the studio to get like a real low latency, high quality audio that comes through these video calls. So the other thing too is like Gypsy Tales, the podcast, is like more of a podcast, and then it goes on YouTube. YouTube is like a really good audience for us, as well as iTunes. But the podcast is more geared up just for straight iTunes, and then it kind of goes on YouTube. Whereas this, I wanted to do a show that was for YouTube, but then also goes on iTunes. So yeah, just a cool little content piece. We're going to do it each week. We're going to try for every Saturday morning. And it'll just be like cool video calls with cool people just talking about random stuff. So yeah, really excited about it. Something I've been wanting to do since this whole corona thing started, but just sort of kind of getting around to it now. So massive thank you to Sam Moore, Guy Streeter, and of course Josh Hill for being in this first version. I just got to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Firstly, the guys at Crix Tweed. You can head to crixtweed.com.au. They're basically still just doing like, I guess you'd say, contactless car sales and servicing. So head to crixtweed.com.au, talk to Kyle, and if you are in the market for a new or used car, they're still giving away the the KTM 450, but they're just going to extend it a little bit past June and just see how it all goes down. Also, the guys at MX Store have reopened their showroom. Social distancing laws are in place for the opening of the showroom, and click and collect is still the preferred way to get your MX Store order, but still fully functioning, still pumping through and still supporting motocross, and also been doing a really good job with their isolation games. If you haven't been following their Instagram at MX Store. Also the guys at Rival Inc. are going hard as well. We'll be doing some cool new stuff with them in the coming weeks. You can head to www.rivalincdesignco.com, use the code GypsyGang for 15% off, and you can also use that same code at thrillseekerscollection.com. best seat covers in the game. They just recently sent one through to Jack Miller. I was talking to Jack on FaceTime the other day and he was frothing at it. And then we need to give a shout out to the guys at Boost Mobile. I'm so done with like messing with the internet. So I've got an old iPhone that has a Boost Mobile SIM card in it, and then I'm powering these calls off of the 4G that is on the Boost network. So, and yeah, just do this with my recharge. And that's how I'll be running this show, is because the NBN is just too unreliable for this kind of stuff. So massive thank you to the guys at Boost. And also a big thank you to Sam, who not only co-hosted this podcast with me, but also supports the show through Fist Handwear and Dixon Flannel. So you can head to dixonquality.com.au to cop that new flannel. I just got a new one yesterday and I love it. There's no better feeling than a crisp Dixon. You can use the code RAMPTHIEF to get 15% off. And if you go to fisthandwear.com, you can use the code FUCKJACE and that's going to get 15% off as well. Thanks so much, guys. Hope you enjoy this new show. It'll be coming at you every Saturday from now. Peace. From the gang called Gypsy. Gangin', they come and get Gypsy. Gangin', they come and get Gang, gang. I'm at a different Gypsy gang. Gang, gang. Gypsy. Gangin', they come and get Gang. Gypsy. Gangin', they come and get Gang. Gypsy gang. Gang. Gypsy gang. I'm at a Gypsy.
So Jason's back.
Yeah. We're on, boys. We are on. We are here with our first ever guest. And our first
ever... Oh, we're recording.
Yeah, we're on. It's fucking happening. I've made sure of it too. So he's our first ever guest and he's our first ever repeat guest.
Okay, so first of all, before we talk about anything else, are we actually 100,000% recording or not?
Straight up. The red buttons are red?
It's on.
All right,
is there sound coming through the computer?
Correct. Everything's done.
Because I like Josh, but I don't know whether we should do this three times.
Third time's a charm. Nah, second time's Gucci. Let's just keep it at two. So, so yeah, full disclosure, we did this not last weekend, the weekend before.
I like how you're outing yourself before we out
it. Yeah, I fucked it up. I'm going Eminem right now. Fuck it. I'm just going to talk shit on myself so that you guys
it.
Can't.
I love it. This seat is really fucking high.
Sit on that one. Nah, that one's lower, trust me. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so I fucked up the recording. This is our new show. We had a great show. We spent an hour talking shit last time. Joe Hill came up with the name. What's the name of our new show, Joe Hill?
Gypsy Tales Worldwide.
So because I guess that's what we're doing. We're going worldwide. We're gonna do this new
no different.
This new like kind of Skype sort of video call show. And we thought with Joe Hill's Urban Rider clip that he dropped a couple weeks ago, he'd be like the perfect dude to talk to. And then we ended up just talking a bunch of mad shit. It was a really fun show. So
it was a really fun show. Sorry you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, you're trying to replicate the greatness. It was so...
It was actually a really good one. I was really disappointed.
What's that?
Just check. This would be better.
All right, you guys kick it off. We're going
to... Oh, here we go. So they're actually going to triple check because now he's paranoid. That's awesome. Oh, shit. That's awesome. What trophies you got
should
up there?
Should we redo the intro or should we...
Sorry, what are those up there?
Yeah, that's my brother's. That's my brother's. Oh. I never got a... Yeah, that's... He's got some memorabilia around here. But
that's sick.
We got third place Melbourne Supercross trophy back
there, though. Nice.
Hard earned.
There you go. It's a third place Melbourne Supercross trophy up there behind him.
Oh, we talked about it. Don't worry. We had an off-air chat. We almost got it on the couch. So, Joe Hill, what's been going on, brother?
Not too much, man. Just trying to balance being a supercross racer and also filming real moto. So it's been and doing other projects like Urban Rider and just went and did this cool video with Racer X yesterday with Darren Durham.
Oh,
so
sick!
Just ride my dirt bike a lot and trying to kind of balance those two out.
Yeah, dude. How dirty was Darren Durham's crash?
Fuck.
Was that one of the gnarlier crashes like that's come out in a long time?
It's one of those things. Like, that was one of the scariest looking crashes I've ever seen. And then, like, you know, it's your buddy too. Like, Darren Durham's one of my favorite people in the sport, and he's one of my favorite riders. And to see that, like, it was gnarly. I was lucky that like somebody warned me, like, it's gnarly, but he's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It looked like he was. Yeah. So. That was nuts. I guess there was like a little hole that you can kind of see in the video, like, and I guess he had fallen earlier in the day and had some grit in his throttle, and so it just didn't help, and just caught a wheelie. Like, you said, he was gonna wheelie into the face, like purposely, and then kind of, you know, set it down, and, like, get some extra pop. And
with that mad
the front
style
just didn't
that he's
set
got.
Down.
Dude.
Yeah, so
it's hectic. So
he was out riding with me yesterday. He's still a little bit sore. Like, you know, he wasn't running at quite full capacity, but, you know, he's on a bike again. So a week after that double backflip dismount.
Dude, right.
I bet he cleaned his throttle out.
Can we just, all right, let's just go around the web and talk about some of the weirdness that's happened with, like, so I feel like the Darren Durham crash is like one.
Yeah.
And then fucking Grant Bink doing a double backflip, first time ever hitting the moon booter. And then Harry Bink doing a fucking triple flip. Like, there's been some weird shit on the internet the last couple weeks.
Yep.
I literally just was on Harry's page because Molly was like, did you see that picture of Harry and Shelby? Yeah. What he said. So I was on there and I started scrolling down and seeing Grant's double backflip. And I mean, obviously I already seen Harry doing the working on the triple flip, and it's just,
yeah, I went for,
and, I was, know, I'm in my backyard feeling good doing one, you know,
yeah. On your Tesla.
Grant, who doesn't even ride, is doing double.
I'm feeling good about doing none.
You're over there on your Tesla doing backflips.
Dude, Grant's so gnarly. Yeah. Like, I went for a walk with him the other morning and we were cruising along and he's just like, yeah, I just like sent a double backflip yesterday, eh, into the pit. And I was like, why? And he goes, I don't know. Like, I just sort of felt like I could do it. And I'm like, okay.
Can you imagine a fucking Nitro Circus double flip train with Harry and Grant as a back tattoo, and then Grant and Harry as a back tattoo? Would that
no one, and no one with any shirts on.
Would that be the weirdest fucking in action sports?
Yeah, we need Grant on tour, huh?
Yeah. I don't know whether the world needs Grant on tour.
Grant's so fucking gnarly that he's on tour at home.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like always on tour.
He's on tour, but
never
he just
leaves
doesn't
the
leave.
Postcode. Yeah,
doesn't leave Burley, but he's on tour. Awesome. That's for sure.
Oh, fucking hell! How did how did the Urban Rider get received?
I think everybody kind of thought it was weak, and it was like, but
I didn't think it was weak.
I thought it was great.
It's a good video. Like, I mean, I liked it.
You filmed
I had a
it
lot
like
of
4 days.
Doing it. Yeah, we just didn't have time to, like, you know, I didn't have that, you know, I think everybody's so accustomed to just having that one just banger, crazy new shot. And
yeah,
for me, it was just like, it was just making a video that is going to be entertaining, riding a bike, like, where you wouldn't see a bike normally. So that was, yes. It was really fun to make, and it was cool. And, you know, we had about a week window to get something done and put something out. So it was cool.
I feel like at the moment, everyone's putting out like quick content, you know, rather than spending like 2 months on a clip or on a video, you know, on a video. There's, because the world, you know, because everyone's consuming so much of that stuff,
yeah,
like it seems that brands are just pushing out like heaps of like smaller, you can tell that, you know, they haven't spent 2 months on it, that they've just gone and banged it out in like 2 or 3 days and put something out, which is, I reckon it's sick, because, you know, it gives all of us something new to watch when there's fucking nothing else to watch or nothing else to do, I guess.
I think, like, people are jaded, too, on, like, the big shit. Like, you know, Berriman put out his, like, they did that remix of, like, Berriman's clip at, when he was at, Moto Sandbox or, like, wherever it was. And it's like, he's hitting, like, 180-foot fucking doubles and shit. Like, people are just so jaded, man, to where it's like, I almost feel like, it felt like Urban Rider, like the what you put out was more like a core skate clip, if that makes sense. It wasn't like a fucking girl skate film, but it was like the old school, like just core. This is just like a fucking solid edit. But you're right, it didn't have like a Cineflex and a fucking Phantom, and it wasn't shot on 20 Reds, because it just seems like people just expect that shit these days.
Well, I mean, it was me, one filmer, and my girlfriend Molly filming, and GoPros and Insta360 cams. I mean, it was basically, I just went out, scouted, found some stuff, like, and I mean, there is a lot of the stuff I did in it was like real technical, like just like that one little bunny hop over the wall down the embankment to the landing, like that. That clip was pretty tricky to do, and I was pretty pumped, because, you know, you don't really, nobody bunny hops a dirt bike. And I just used like a little curb to like bunny hop over a wall and then down a hill, and that was pretty cool. And some of
that
the
one
jumps
drop
too,
was pretty,
like,
savage too.
Yeah, I mean, there was some cool stuff. Oh yeah, the one drop like from like one parking lot down to another. Yeah, it was pretty big and had no landing, and I was in tennis shoes, work boots. So it's I mean, there was some stuff that was pretty sick in it, and I really enjoyed filming it. But yeah, there wasn't like, you know, I didn't invent any tricks. I just went and rode some, you know, new stuff and had a good time, and it was really cool. Like, I mean, just it's the stuff I like doing. I basically just put out a video of what I like doing. So if people like it, I'm stoked. And if people were, you know, didn't think that it was, you know, all that great, a lot of, you know, I understand that too. And I'll be coming out with something for Real Moto that will hopefully change those people's mind.
Yeah. It's
kind of a bunch of different projects.
Real Moto is going to be kind of gnarly this year. I feel like without actual X Games, Real Moto is kind of
Well, that's everything. Like, I had Creed in my office like yesterday or the day before or whatever. He called in to pick something up, or I don't know what he was doing, but he was just saying that, like, obviously with no actual X Games, that's kind of it. It's like there's one event for the year and it's Real Moto.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
Is Creed's in?
Yeah.
Oh, gnarly. Okay. Yeah. Like, I didn't even hear who is off. Oh yeah, he's gonna be pushing it, that's for sure.
Shit.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, I thought I had originally thought it was gonna be, I had heard it was Foster, myself, Axel is what I had heard, Raha and Vicky Golden.
Yeah,
that's the five, right? Yeah. So, and then I'd heard rumors that Axel might have dropped out, so that would make sense that...
Why would Axel drop out, you reckon? Probably some political shit, or like just didn't want to?
Maybe the budget probably isn't big enough for what he has in mind, you know?
Yeah,
like we get like $12,000 to film like a video, which is awesome that we have that, but it's, you know, to do what you really want to do, you're kind of coming out of pocket. You know, in hopes to get that gold medal and that extra bonus. You know, we're kind of like betting on ourselves to kill it and make money by just being gnarly.
Like, you kind of don't get anything if you don't win, essentially, because it's like you can't keep any of that money and still win that you get originally.
Like, I'll be out of pocket if I don't win.
Yeah.
The way I'm hitting it. Like,
that's sick.
You gotta invest in yourself.
Exactly. You know, I'm just gonna try to do my best.
And I like it.
You get one chance. If you do it and you suck and you don't make an impact, or not even suck, like if you just do it and you don't, like, there's been a lot of really good videos, like, and the people didn't get invited back. Like Hillsack had a really sick video and I don't think he made the podium. And then Durham's video, it's like it was pure Durham and I loved watching it, and he's got the sickest style and probably had the biggest free ride hit, but didn't make the podium. And so he's like, you know, they don't invite you back for like three, like Bierman didn't meet the requirements to get invited back. That's why we haven't seen him, which I think is kind of bogus. Like, I mean, it's like Bierman's like, that's an event.
Him and Axel are the dudes.
Tyler is Real Moto.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, him, Axel,
Foster Chris seems Foster, to be there every year though, right?
Raha. Well, yeah, because he's either wins or wins the fan vote, or he medal. I don't think he's ever not medaled.
Yeah, his stuff's always sick. And same with Raha.
If you put together Foster, like, everybody forgets about Foster because he kind of just does like that one big piece a year.
Yeah, he doesn't fight to stay relevant all year.
Yeah, he doesn't fight the social media relevancy battle. He just like puts out his project. It's really sick. And then when you go back and like, I've been just watching all the old Real Motos going, okay, like that was sick. You know, just trying to get ideas and kind of understand like the criteria and just the way the whole program's ran. You know, now we have a big enough catalog of old events that I can kind of study it and see what worked and what didn't and try to come up with some, you know, come up with some stuff. But I was watching Foster's, and Foster's like his highlight reel from Real Moto is it's pretty nuts. But Creed coming into it, that's gonna be like, now we basically have two Rahas, you know. we got two dudes that are D-gaff and just D-gaff. Gonna send it, you know, like they're gonna definitely lay it out on the line. It's gonna be sick. And Creed, I don't think anybody, you know, really knows what he's capable of other than that he just goes insane off a quarter pipe. So yeah. that's actually now that I'm hearing that, I'm kind of scared.
It's crazy, man, because it's like
when you said that, I was like, shit, did I just say something I wasn't meant to say? And then I realized he's posted it all over his social media.
Fuck it, this show needs
I don't
exclusive.
Pay attention enough.
That's good.
To that stuff.
Yeah. That's good.
It's funny though, it's like you're watching fucking tape pretty much of like X Games Real Moto. Like I'm watching tape like a fighter watches tape to get ready yeah. for a fight. Yeah. And there's like here comes this wild Australian cunt that has no tape.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
fuck,
yeah.
I'm kinda scared of him. I hear he's got knockout power.
Well, yeah, he does. I mean, I know what he's capable of. You know, like the guy just basically say, hey, I want to be in this. Like, let me in. Like, I'll show you what's up. And yeah. we're all kind of like, we hear that. And we're like, yeah, okay, we've heard this before. We'll see what's up, you know? Yeah. And then yeah. he shows up and yeah, he meant what he said. Like, he was gnarly. So.
You are right, man. Like, how many people would have been like, I'm going to go to X Games, bro? Or, like, how many big whips do you see? And then,
well,
like...
Well, dude, the whole Corey Creed story is so fucking sick. Like, he was literally like, oh, I think I can do that quarter pipe thing pretty good. I'm just going to learn how to do that. And then we're all like, okay, cool. Like, because, like, we were all mates with him before. And I knew he rode pretty good, but I didn't know, like, how out of... And then all of a sudden, he was just like... Hey man, like, can I grab some gloves? Blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries. And then next minute, he's just like, the man, like literally, like 2 months later.
Well, there's a thing too, like, you know, some guys can practice really well. Like, you know, yeah. if you got a backyard setup, like, you know, if you have a backyard setup with a quarter pipe and that's what you do all day, and you know, you get super comfy, and it's like, yeah, look at this video of me. I'm the man. I'm blasting, and I can smoke all you guys.
Yeah,
that's one thing. And, you know, you have every right to say that, I guess, if you're feeling it. But then showing up and then delivering on that on a new setup, a new setup in front of everybody when the TV guy goes, go. Like,
you have to realize how good everyone else is.
Yeah. And I mean, that dude showed up. Did he win his first time?
Yeah. Did he win his first time?
Nah, didn't he? That's
right there if he didn't.
Yeah, I feel like he won that, like, last year he won everything, and then the year before was, like, his first year on the fucking,
yeah,
kind of, like,
might
the
have
big
got
stage.
Silver. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, Google that shit, because
I don't remember, but...
I always tell lies.
When they're all, like, it's kind of like there was, like, three guys that were, you know, up here, out of the roof, and then it was just, like, the next group of guys, and then there was me.
Yeah, well, you probably had like the least amount of time on it though. Like, do you reckon, is it something that you wish you could practice more? Like, do you think you could get it good? Because there's no, like, I mean, you know it, I know it, Sam knows, like, there's not that many dudes out there that are more talented than you on a bike. Like, that's pretty much a fact.
Well, for me, I was the team manager at Monster, like, when they decided to have that event, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough guys to fill it that would hit the ramp. So I was already going as a team manager. So I just threw my bike on the truck. And so they, you know, I found out a couple weeks before, like, I would be in. So this was the first year I went to do it. Like, when it was brand new, like, nobody, they had it set up at Paula. So I went out and practiced one day and started airing it big, like, not big, but big for me. I mean, I was probably, you know, I was 25 feet probably, and I threw a whip, and then it fell back on me on one of them, and then I ate it pretty good and, like, broke my foot. Ugh. And I didn't tell anybody, because, like, if I would have told my employer that, oh,
he
I just busted,
like,
my
nah,
foot
bro,
on this thing
going.
But it yeah so I just ran it and then didn't practice, and then stayed up all night with the team manager with all the Australians at the Monster party, then just went to the thing. I almost got third. I was 6 inches out of third my first time. That's there.
Six and then, inches short, eh?
Yeah, 6 inches out of third. I was third all the way till the last round. And then, yeah, I got bumped. But either way, it was just like, you know, I practiced one time. It was cool. You know, it was a new event. And I was thinking the next year, I'm like, yeah, that would be sick. Like if I practiced, I mean, if I go another 5-10 feet, that should be easy. And then I'll be right in the mix. Well, those guys now are going like another, you know, they're going like 30 something feet, like 35, 36 feet.
Yeah, it's like
and
36
they're measuring
feet,
it.
I think, right?
They're measuring it at a... And isn't it at the lowest point of your bike or the frame or something? And
center like, of like, isn't it like the center of mass
so
or some
according
shit?
According to Corey's website, his nitro. Well, it depends on whether you're talking nitro or X Games because it's completely different. But the nitro one, his record's 46.8 foot above the ramp.
Fuck all that.
Yeah, that's nuts. And
that's
that ramp's
like,
30
that's
feet
too
tall,
high.
So he's set,
that's
he's,
not okay. So that,
but that's the world record height for a bike jump, isn't it?
Yeah.
He well, gave maybe Sam not, the... if you, not if you can, not if you count Robbie Madison jumping up onto that arc.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Vegas. So I think Maddo still has the record for jumping,
of course he does.
Jumping up. But maybe it's a different record because he's jumping up and then not returning where and then returning separately, whereas Creed's I don't know. This is very technical.
It's totally different, but
yeah.
I think that Maddo probably has. I mean, Maddo's ramp was like twice as high too, though. So I mean, it's kind of like I don't know how you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's.
He would probably have the biggest height. Creed would have to have the biggest height above the.
Above whatever takeoff. Lip.
Above the coping.
Yeah, yeah, he would have to.
But I think the X Games ramp, the X Games quarter, and the Nitro Games quarter are completely different.
Well, one's like 18 foot, one's 36 foot, right?
Yeah.
It's like double the size.
The X Games quarter pipe is smaller than the quarter pipe on the Mega Ramp. Which is, that's, I really, like, for how big those guys are going, it's not even remotely safe. Like your suspension bottoms out in that
it's
chain.
It's fucking
so
scary
hard.
Looking, isn't it? I remember it's, the first time I saw you guys hit it at X Games, I was like, what?
I've never seen it in real life.
Dude, it's just like, you just look at it, it's just a wall. It just goes like up there.
I mean, there's a straight up ramp. These dudes are hitting it on their 450s as fast as they'll go. And they're going straight up. They're not carving. And then they've figured out just by being nuts that if you go straight up, and then you turn it a little bit, somehow you'll fall into the other ramp and land on the right wheel. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, the physics behind it don't make sense.
It's fucking
like, I don't do it that
way.
I
know that if the ramp is like a little bit in or a little bit out, it makes like meters worth of difference on the down ramp.
Yeah.
Like, I know if it's not
it
right, it's really wrong, eh?
It makes a complete difference on suspension settings, too. Like, if somebody has super, or if they don't have, like, super cross or stiffer suspension, and they hit that thing, like, they're going to blow through the ramp and deck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because their suspension's sacked out, and it's going to, like, just push them off because it's not vert. You know, it's, like, a couple degrees under vert.
Yeah.
So the guys that have stiff suspension when they hit it, like there's just so much that goes into it that makes it so gnarly that people can't like people probably just see it now and just think, oh, you should be able to jump a quarter pipe 50 feet on a dirt bike because it's got a motor. Like, it
doesn't so the
make sense.
You
don't.
The whole physics of the whole thing is just fucking mental.
And if you turn off it too early, then the rear will fall behind. Like, it's just, it's a pretty gnarly thing. And like, Corey Creed figured it out, and him and like three or four other people on this whole planet have figured that out, and they've took it to such a level that, I don't want anything to do with it.
You're like, I'm not interested. No, thank you.
It happened quick though, too. Like 3 years, man, and it's like 3 years, and they're the best dudes in the world. Like, you know what? Fuck this. They can have it. They've got it. I don't want it.
Because
McNeil, McNeil was right up there at the start, wasn't he? And he seems to have just fallen off because. He had that big crash, at X Games and did his hip.
I think McNeil hit it like as high as he's ever hit it, like the first time it was around.
Yeah.
Like maybe he's gone like a couple of feet higher. But McNeil showed up at the first, because the first place we did it was at Vegas in the parking lot of Monster Cup.
Yeah.
Like when I was working at Monster, we Ash Hodges and me and all the Monster people kind of put together this little contest over there. And that was actually why I wrote it there too, because we thought we'll set this thing up. We have 16 of the gnarliest freestyle riders. They're like,
that'll all hit it.
We'll find six people to want to jump this thing. And then nobody would hit it in practice. So I was like, they needed somebody to ride the contest. So I had my bike there and I rode it.
Like, oh, well, here we go again.
Yeah. So that, and then people like, oh, you can ride that quarter pipe. So then I got signed up for competitions just because, like, I was around the quarter pipe.
You got signed up to everything because you didn't crash.
Yeah, so, I mean, I never, like, dude, that was never.
We need
really
to do you
deal,
up
but
a fucking bench warmers jersey. Yeah. That'd be so, you're like the bench.
Like, I'm going in.
Yeah, you're
just
the, like,
lifetime fill-in.
But you're just, like, the full savage.
Josh is just, like, good at stuff, so it's like everyone knows that if anyone fucks up, you can pretty much just get Josh to go do it, whether it's a hill climb, yeah, motocross, supercross, quarter pipe,
I may
freestyle.
Not be prepared.
But he'll do it.
But I'll get it in the show.
You'll pull over that Flint, Michigan jersey. The Flint Tropics.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, that's funny. So, how is all the Supercross prep been going? So 2 weeks ago when we did the first show,
you didn't know, but maybe you do now.
Yeah, but it's like, has anything different happened? Like, where are we at with, as far as you know, with Supercross? Because everyone seems like they're starting to ride more.
Insider line here.
Well, yeah, everybody's starting to ride. They're trying to come back. They've basically, you know, again, you're not getting real insider information. You're getting insider secondhand information.
Yeah. So you're on vital too.
Yeah. No, but it's, what I'm hearing is May 31st, we're going racing Supercross. Like, Feld is doing, like, they're doing everything they can to go race May 31st, and it's between four locations right now because they wanted to originally do it in Arizona. The Arizona, like, deal got pushed back to where they're not positive if they can do it in Arizona, so they've got three other stadiums on the
Florida has to be one of them.
No,
those motherfuckers will do anything.
Florida already opened up their first events at,
for
like,
sure,
25% capacity or something, I heard.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy. They'll do that shit for sure. What other states are crazy? Because that's really what we're looking at.
There's some crazy states.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's where Supercross will be.
Yeah, no, I think I heard Utah wants to come in the running too. I heard Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, St. Louis, possibly Houston, or possibly Arizona.
Okay.
Is what I've been hearing. So it'll be one of those places. We're trying to go racing May 31st. And then I heard it, you know, everything else that I've heard, like, it's going to be like seven rounds in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Is kind of.
So
what
do
I'm
you
hearing.
Think it'll be just the one location? It'll be one of those locations, do you reckon?
Yeah, it'll be one of those locations.
One location, seven
times. Seven
rounds. Shit.
That's so
that's
sick.
That's what I'm hearing. I mean, things can change, but it'll, I'm kind of rooting for Salt Lake because that's a cool city and there's like a lot of stuff to do around there. Because if we're in Phoenix,
because you'll be there.
And it's, because if we do it in Phoenix, it's going to be like 105 to 110 out every day and there's like nothing to do. I mean, I shouldn't say there's nothing to do, but
I'll say
kinda,
there's nothing
like,
to do for you.
Well, I mean,
unless you
want to
play golf.
Phoenix normally,
because there's a lot
Phoenix
of dope golf courses.
Yeah, I don't play golf, but there's like a lot of fun bars and, you know, the nightlife's out there is awesome, but that's not going right now. So I don't know what we'd really be doing out there besides cooking.
And racing dirt bikes.
I ain't talking Martha Stewart. Yeah. Dude, fucking Scottsdale, Arizona. We used to go there for the Phoenix Open every year. Hot damn. That fucking place. That's one of the most lit cities in
the US. I was
there
in January.
In Scottsdale?
Yeah. I went there to see Dixon.
Oh, yeah, you did.
There in Arizona.
Dude, that place for fucking Phoenix Open just blew my shit. I was like, this town's something else.
Fucking goes off, doesn't it?
It's like a mini Vegas.
It kind of is, huh?
It's like
Cowboy
Vegas.
It's
like pool parties. Like
Cowboy Vegas.
Kind of. It's like pool. Like, they have just like pool parties, like day clubs everywhere. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty. I didn't know it either until I went one time and I was like, whoa, this is right here.
Whoa, I'm coming back.
Yeah, so I mean that stuff isn't going to be going. I don't know. I mean, I'm just rooting for Salt Lake because that's closer to where I grew up and it's beautiful up there. So hopefully that's where they end up. I mean, St. Louis would be sweet too, and Houston's
good dirt
got
at St. Louis
stadium. Yeah, so same with Houston. Like the best dirt would be Houston or St. Louis. But
yeah, yeah, because I feel like the Salt Lake dirt is not that good.
No, well, it's going to be hot in Salt Lake too. Like it won't be as hot as Phoenix, but it's a real dry climate up there. So the tracks, you know, and it's an open stadium. So it's going to be slick for practice and then hard packed for the main.
Yeah.
The
crazy thing is like you think about seven rounds, one stadium, you've got a championship on the line in three classes, and the 450 class is probably like one of the gnarlier championships like ever that we've really seen. I mean, this has to be one of the craziest championships ever when all things considered. You've got
everything got cancelled in the middle of it.
Yeah, you've got, but I mean even before that it was sick as fuck. If Eli Tomac doesn't win this title, everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck, bro? If Ken Roczen doesn't win this title, everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck, bro? It's like, that's like kind of gnarly to have those two dudes like peak era
in the what the fuck bro-ing.
Yeah, and then we're like then in the middle of the season where it's like both of those dudes have to kind of win, then you go, whoa, global pandemic, let's shut this shit down. Then we'll come back and we'll race seven rounds in one stadium. One of you guys is probably going to adapt to this dirt way better than the other, and it's like the dirt on the floor of the stadium could dictate the championship in a way, because it's like you look at Phoenix. Like Ken at Phoenix, if the Supercross Championship finished at Phoenix, I'd probably have my money on Ken. If the championship, like we did seven rounds at St. Louis, then I'm probably going to switch my money over to Eli. Just purely based on like the way they ride and the kind of dirt that suits and the kind of tracks that seem to suit. So it's like, how gnarly is it that literally the dirt that ends up like lucking out could play such a massive like role in the championship?
100%. Like if it was at Phoenix, it and like watching how good Roczen rode this year at Phoenix, like you kind of almost got to put your money on him. I mean, he won all three motos, like
by a
everybody.
Lot. Yeah,
and he just rides that stuff really good. And then if you put it in Salt Lake, I think the nod definitely goes to Eli, in my opinion, because he's from altitude. He's used to his bike not being fast. He's used to breathing that stuff.
And probably used to the dirt drying out in a very similar way.
I don't know if their dirt's similar, but I'm sure I'm just the altitude, like, you know, that's a huge thing. When you go to 4,000 or 5,000 feet, like your bike goes, like if you have your mod bike feels like a stock bike pretty much.
Yeah.
It's that much difference. And then if you took it to like St. Louis or Houston, one where like, it just, you know, the ruts start out at the top and then they start working their way down. It gets tighter and tighter. Like then you almost got to, not that you could ever count out Cooper Webb, but when the tracks start getting like that, and if there's 7 weekends like that, where you're picking lines and jumping through whoops and doing all that kind of technical point stuff, like he is really good at that. And, you know, you could be upset in seven rounds.
If
the conditions are right for Cooper. What, 20
seven wins would really swing things.
Yeah, so I mean it's nuts. And then on the light side, I think the Sexton and McElrath are still pretty close in points. And then I think Ferrandis has kind of got a little bit of a gap on the West Coast, and there's less rounds for them, so he might be in the safest position really when it comes to a championship at anybody.
I feel like they need to have like a whole gate left of Ferrandis for his dick to sit. Like, they just almost, like, can't fit a rider there. Like, his big dick energy is just, like, so fucking gnarly this season that it's like, hey, we're only doing 19 riders because we need a whole lane here for fucking Ferrandis right now. I don't know that anyone is stopping that motherfucker. He's on some G shit.
He's got the aggression. He's got it going on, man. The guy's...
he's definitely
got the aggression. He knows he should win.
Yeah.
He knows he should win. You know, like he goes there, if he gets a bad start, he you know, he doesn't look at those guys as other riders, and he looks at them as floating, moving tough blocks, I think. Like, that's how you got to be. You got to have that mentality, like you're just seeing he's seeing through these guys, just seeing a hole, taking it and slamming and moving forward. And you're going to make some enemies doing that, but you're also going to win some races. And
you're going to make some money, you know, though.
That you're still going to cash, yeah.
Yeah, big time, dude. It's you know what I reckon is the fucking coolest thing about this light season is that you've got Fernandez, who kind of won the championship by like default last year, if you want to say that, with like Rock, with AC throwing it away the way he did. It's like if AC stays on, he wins the title. All right, nothing. No one really wants to argue that. And if Faulkner didn't throw away his title, then Chase Sexton doesn't win. But who are the two dudes that come out with these like asterisks next to their titles and just completely fucking owned the next season? Like they dominated the season before. Because there's definitely been champions in the past where they've kind of had that, like they've won a title in like that kind of way. And then the next year, they just sort of like
dominate. Yeah,
they didn't dominate the same way, whereas it's like the way that Ferrandis is riding, it's like he's won the last three titles. Some Tedesco shit, and it's like the same with Sexton. Sexton's just riding like a fucking animal, but it's like both of those guys kind of have an asterisk on that number one plate. But this year, nah, like you'll never even think about that again.
Well, I think I think with Sexton, maybe a little bit, just because Faulkner hadn't lost a race until he blew his knee out.
Yeah, ACL.
So that one's kind of like, but if he goes and backs it up right now, yeah, nobody's really going to like trip on it at all. Like,
yeah.
It's just going to be.
Yeah, he'll just be a two-time champion,
gonna,
not a one-time.
Nobody's going to worry about it. Nobody's going to worry about it anyways. You know, you look at the record books, you see the number. I mean, the moto historians will go in there, oh, yes, but this happened. You know?
Yeah. It's just kind of cool, though, that like that's out the window now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's great for those guys. But, you know, Sexton, he's been riding really strong. But I wouldn't say that, like, I mean, he's riding amazing. Like, the guys, he's the smoothest. Well, I shouldn't say he's the smoothest. Like, him and McElrath are the only two guys that ride 250s, like, so smooth.
Yeah.
It's like, it's crazy. They ride it totally different than everybody else. Everybody, like, you know, especially, I'd say Faulkner and Fernandez, like those guys are panic revving it and just going nuts.
Yeah.
And Sexton and McElrath kind of do the same thing. They round the corners nice and big and just carry momentum, make the triples out of the turns on 250s look simple. Other bikes are good, but the way they're rounding their turns and just carrying momentum and seat back, like they're insane. Like after the first round though, after Tampa, I was like, I was pretty badass going into Tampa. Like I'm in the mix here, you know. I still got it. Then I
look at this
McElrath
mustache, motherfuckers.
Then I seen McElrath riding, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, nobody's gonna beat that guy this year." Like,
really?
He was so good. Like he was so good. I'm like, "Oh yeah, never mind." Like, I mean, not like I was thinking I was really gonna win, but I thought I was gonna at least have something for those guys. And at the first round, I did not. I mean, like, he was on a whole nother level. And then. Yeah. Next round's in, then it started to get mixed up, you know, then that's when it started, like, everybody kind of started to show some fight, you know, even Hampshire was on the gas, and
I mean, dude.
Marchbanks won, too, he's like, you know,
he looked good when he won, too, like, the way he won that race was just like, Jesus, fuck, like, leave him alone, dude.
Yeah, he was like the main guy I battled with in all the races, or the first three races. Like me and that guy were next to each other the whole time. Cause I don't think we're both like a little bit bigger and neither one of us were getting like the best starts for the most part. And so we were there in battling and I was like every week I'm like, oh, gotta try to get Marchbanks, you know, but I've been having a blast racing with him cause he's just a really good rider. He's like, he's respectful on and off the track. Like I like the kid.
Yeah.
He's actually Ivan Tedesco is his trainer, his like riding coach.
Oh, sick!
And
that's a guy.
But, you know, I'm kind of putting myself like, oh, that's the guy. You know, like that's the next guy. If I can beat him, that's like then I'm improving. You know?
Yeah.
Then he goes and wins, and you're like, oh fuck!
And then he goes out and just smokes everybody. And it was funny because I went down twice at Daytona, so he's coming around to lap me, and I see that he's winning. And I'm just like throwing it up at him.
go for it, partner.
I was legitimately stoked for him because, you know, like I said, we've been cutting our teeth battle in the back of the pack, and then he got a good start and just checked out.
Fuck, that's cool, dude. That's so cool that you can have that like attitude towards it. Like, that's a mature, like, that's like an old dude's attitude.
Like, you go, son. Yeah. You're like, you know what? Like, I'm proud of you, little buddy.
Well, he's a cool kid, you know. Like, he just, yeah, awesome. I like his. I just you know, you meet people and you're like, I really, you know, like this,
like,
guy.
I like this guy. Nice, this guy's my friend. Yeah.
Exactly.
So how's your riding been going? Like, how's your? You said that you like in our first episode of this
episode zero
of this, you were saying that you sort of like felt like you were really getting your bike together, and that it was, you know, the first few rounds you hadn't done much work to it, and now you'd sort of tested some stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was doing Australian Supercross, then I came back and had to get straight into snow bikes. And I was just flying back between like snow bike racing, like one weekend.
just being everything guy.
And I mean, it was good. Like, I felt like in shape and ready to go. But, you know, my suspension guy, Enzo, he's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. I didn't really ever get my suspension totally dialed. Like, I was sending stuff back and forth, which, you know, I had 2 weeks.
That's
to get
rough.
It, you know. Yeah, I mean, I was riding a lot, but I had really like 2 weeks of straight only focusing on Supercross before the season started. And we were getting it going in the right direction. And then, but we were running stock suspension that was just being revalved.
Yeah.
So then I ended up finding a couple of sets of like KYB, like kit forks.
Yeah.
And got some and sent those in and sent them to Enzo and got them dialed. Like, the first time they sent them to me, I was just like, oh my God, this is what I've been missing. And yeah. Then also, you know, we were running stock cams. Like, we didn't have our full engine package in yet for that season. And then I got everything together, tested it, and actually tested my race bike and got done, threw it in the truck. And I drove like, I think it's like 12 hours or something to, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And then I pulled up, and as I pulled up, they're all, oh, race is canceled. So I finally got all my good stuff. And then
like,
drove
ready
it
to
all
roll.
The way there just to make sure I'd have it. And I had to get there a day early for press day. And then they're like, oh yeah, no, it's done.
And then I was thinking that. Did you just get it out of the trailer? And did you just get out of the trailer and rev it so Marchbanks knew you had a better bike?
Hey bro, I was bringing the heat, but shit's canceled now. I definitely would have beat you.
Hey, you're fucking lucky, punk.
Did you see my I was messing around at press day a couple weeks before and did like a big one-handed like point, like I won over the finish line jump, just messing around. I'm like, I did it because I knew everybody would take pictures. I'm like, that'll come in handy later. And, yeah, after they canceled it, I posted something like, yeah, those guys didn't stand a chance this weekend. I showed up and nobody won the race.
Would have smoked you guys anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking so funny, dude.
You know, but many people are saying that, like, oh, this would have been my weekend.
Oh, fuck, that's funny, dude.
Yeah, see, that's what Jace will start saying, because Day in the Dirt's been cancelled this year. And I've beat Jace 2 years in a row. And he's just going to be claiming, like, oh, fuck, I would have smoked you this year, man.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get...
What, try and take me out again and fucking fall down a hill like last time?
Did you hear that story?
No.
Oh, I just fucking tried to clean out Sammy. Like, did the old, like, look back and just free rev my bike.
And I heard him coming, so I jumped on the brakes and he missed me and went down a hill.
There was like, I went to, like, the outside of this, of the track, and it was like a mud hole, dude, like, as deep as my bike. And I'm like, and just fucking over the bars, dude. Like,
and I literally came around and was just like...
I was like, fuck this.
That's
cunt.
The best.
And
it
was the best, like, part was when I came off the track and your mum high fived me and said, you beat Jace again. Family support, bruh.
I'm gonna get a thing made with like my lap time up here and then Sam's lap time on the other
side. Hey.
Just to be a
dog. Is the race to do with who finishes the line first or who gets the fastest lap time?
Yeah, no, nah, you won.
I was ready for a three-peat. Some Jordan shit.
We're doing a mid 2000 two-stroke build off, and we were gonna we were going to copy, like, I was going to do Chad's bike, and then Sam was going to do, like, Ricky's bike, or, like, one of the, you know, just, like, a factory bike. And then we're like, fuck that. Let's go. Dude, we're like, let's go old school and do Australian factory bike. So I'm going to do the Boost Mobile CDR bike from, like, 04. Sick. And then Sam's going to do Jay Marmont's KTM 250.
Sick. That those are good looking bikes, those years. Dude. That's, I mean, good luck without the linkage on that KTM, but
I won't it's gonna make look too sick. Much of a difference to we how have... I ride in it, really, Josh.
we haven't run this idea past Langston yet. We might get some pushback from Langston about that 05 KTM.
Yeah.
I feel like that one fucked him
that's
up.
That's a good looking bike.
Mm. They were sick. Bike. Like those what were they here? Motorex. Like, no fear, Motorex bikes.
Dude, that's right. They had
I spoke to Jay. I spoke to Jay, and Jay's like, fuck, I wish I still had mine. And I was like, I wish you still had yours too.
Yeah, we should definitely get. Well, we were thinking too, like, I might get Shane Boyd to come and, like, because at Day in the Dirt, they do the team races. So, like, Shane Boyd was riding for CDR back then. So I was like, I'll get Boydie, and then we'll do, like, a team race, and I'll have Boydie, and then he'll get Marmont, and then we could do, like, the team race on the replica bikes with the dudes that raced them.
That'd be sick.
That would be, man, Boydie, like, he's still Boydie's
barley, good, though. Really good still.
Like, I mean, those guys used to battle back in the day, but who gets the nod now?
I feel like Boydie, dude.
Boydie rides every day. Jay rides in the mines.
Yeah, like Boydie.
But Jay can
like
still
just,
ride really good too.
Almost.
I saw some photos of him the other day, like ripping.
I raced him at Manjum Up. I think he beat me, like, not that long ago.
Jay or Boydie?
I think I raced him. Did he race? No.
Who?
Jay Marmont. Or maybe he was just their mechanic.
Nah, it might have been his brother, Ryan.
Who knows?
I don't
know. No, Jay must have been the team manager. Never mind, I didn't race him.
Nah.
Oh, yeah.
He was just there. I didn't race him. He was just there.
I'm pretty sure you raced, like, Gibbsy in that. And then Jay was the team manager that year. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go do Manjum Up. Would you do that again? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I would do it. Like, when I went there before, I just, like, that was my first, that race was my first ride back from the crash that literally, like, took, like, I quit racing from. Like, I collapsed both my lungs and broke my collarbone. Like, I got a call to come race it. They're like, you want to race? And I was like, you know, it wasn't like crazy money or anything, but it was sounding like a fun deal to come to. So I was like, yeah, I'll come. So I just went and raced a Penrite Honda, and I hadn't ridden a Honda, and I hadn't even ridden. So I went there and I started out not very good, but then by the end of the day, I was actually, like, right kind of in the mix, not like with Gibbs. Like, he was kind of on another level from just about everybody that day. But yeah, it was fun. I don't remember what I got, but
When you ride the Hondas, do you think about, like, that the front end feel, like, that everyone talks about? Because, like, I've ridden them forever, so I kind of don't really notice it. But, like, do they feel – is that, like, your thing with Hondas, that they feel weird in the front end?
See, this might get me in trouble, but every time I sit on a Honda, it's the best feeling bike ever when I sit on it. Like, if I, like, in the showroom floor, I sit, I'm like, this is how a dirt bike should feel.
Yeah.
But then, when you ride it and you start going fast, like, I think in a stock form, they are twitchy in the front. So everybody, that's kind of the consensus. I think they got better. But I mean, that was for me. I went from a Yamaha, which is kind of like you steer with the rear.
Yeah.
And to, a Honda 450 that it's real kind of twitchy in the sand or in the front. And I was racing it in the sand at Manjum Up. So it took me a while. Like, by the end of the weekend, I was in the mix, and I think I got on the podium a couple of times in some of the little races.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Cause they do, you race like six times there.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, I feel like you race so many times. They have like the elimination races, and they have like, it's a bunch of like, it's like one moto's long, one moto's like medium. Some are like three laps or something or whatever. that was just right for me at that time.
Yeah, that's like the one thing. It's always interesting when you hear, because like, I've only really ever rode Hondas, and you are right. Like, that, they do have that showroom feeling. Because like, when I sit on a Yamaha 250F, like, because for me right now, a Yamaha 250F is the best bike, like the best bike I've ever ridden.
We had so much fun at Townley's on those things, though.
But like you sit on them and they don't feel like that good. I'm like, it's kind of fat. It feels sort of like a little flatter, like the seat to bars is kind of like feels like flat and tight. And it's like, it doesn't feel like that good. But then
you ride it and it's
then you ride it. And like the last place I rode that thing, I rode Wind Masters in the fucking, just a grass field in New Zealand. And it was like wet and slippery. I was riding a Honda 450. And it's like, there was this one left-hand sort of long apex sort of turn. And then it got tighter. And I was like sitting down. I had to do like everything right to like get this turn. And I felt sketchy every time. And then on the fucking Yamaha, I like stood up pretty much like right until the very end, like where the apex got super tight. And I was just like, there's something fucking weird going on with this bike that it works like this good.
Yeah. I mean, I love my Yamahas. I didn't like them in 2015 at all. Like I didn't like the bike and I still have a 2015 and it's,
cheers for saying that too. That video did really well on YouTube.
What's that?
When you were talking about like how much you hated that 250F, that video fucking blew up on YouTube, bro.
Oh no, that was 2007. I'm talking about the 2015 when they turned the bund and all that. It was 2010 when they did that, but
oh yeah,
I never was like a big fan of it for like the first 8 years that it was around with it turned around.
Yeah,
and the bike kind of got like a bad rap for being hard to, you know, tough to ride at the time. But now I love it. Like the 18 on, they're awesome. Like
yeah,
they sit right, they feel right, and they've got them so like they're just reliable and killer. Like the power is the best power out of anybody, I think. Just how responsive it is, and just every time you fire it up, it works perfect. No matter
I think
you
it's.
Are.
Awesome. It says a lot too that you're like would actually down to ride a 250F again, like and race it at a professional supercross level.
Oh yeah, like the Yamaha 250F too is it's kind of leading the class in power. It makes it to where a privateer guy like me like can send the engine off to Twisted and be almost as good as some of the factory bikes out there, maybe even better than some of the factory bikes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure some are faster than others, but this, it's good, man. Like Twisted Development worked with the thing really good. I mean, that guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah. He can make shit go fast, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Jamie knows what's going on. Those bikes they're rocket ships. I mean, my only whole shot of my entire career in the States was, on a privateer 250F.
How good is that?
Dallas. Makes sense.
Yeah. And then my only other one before that, the only other whole shot of where I've ever got before that was in New Zealand.
Really?
Last year. So my starts are improving.
I'm just going to...
I've been
gonna
working on them for like 20-something years now.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm gonna travel all around the world. Yeah. And I'm going to do all these different starts. And then like surely I'll get a whole shot.
Yeah, I start last on a snow bike though every time. I haven't figured that out yet.
Hey, you know one person that I fucking think is like the perfect fit for Manjum Up is J-Law.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he would probably ride that sand really good out there.
I feel like
he's good in the sand.
The sand in WA is just next level, eh? What's the one that...
Wanneroo.
Man, I remember going there to the Motocross Nationals and watching Keisha ride that thing. Fuck. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Why is it so deep? It's so gnarly.
Did Keisha ride sand good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys ever got to go to the Rocks and watch him back in the day?
Dude, I did I was the first person to film the Rocks. Like me and him went there like JDR days. And it was like,
yeah,
fuck, he was like young too, man. Like, we were both young. And like, I just had the loosest fucking 5 days there with that whole crew, bro. Like, we did some weird fucking shit.
These guys are-
And we made this edit. And I was like wondering, because I'm pretty sure we drove from Melbourne together to go, maybe like me and Mozig drove from Melbourne down there. Fuck, I wish I could remember that trip actually.
Oh, it would have been
but
nice.
Yeah, we stayed and I was just like tripping the whole time, and like the sand, like the shit that we found, and like the stuff, I had like all my cameras and shit, and I'm like riding this quad over the fucking gnarliest dunes and like the tide had come up on the beach and I'm having to send this quad through the fucking water.
That Moto 4 or whatever that clip is that
Alan Hardy did that
Alan did with Keisha is fucking one of the most all-time Moto clips ever. You've seen that.
I agree 100%.
Josh.
Yeah.
It's so sick.
That might be the best clip from the Moto series. That was a really good deal that they did with him. That was sick.
So sick.
But did you go down there?
So beautiful.
Did you go there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We raced. We had a supercross. We had a supercross somewhere in South Australia. And so we raced that. I ended up winning that. And then we went straight to Keisha's over there at the Rocks. And
this Hart and Huntington days?
Yeah. So, yeah, when I was 2013. Okay. So we went straight from from there, me and Mozig. And, we hung out for a few days and it was Jacob Wright was there too. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Sick.
Really?
I'm pretty sure what Jacob a crew. Wright was on that trip. Yeah. And it was nuts, man. Like probably the most scared I've ever been in a vehicle in my entire life was one of his cousins, late at night decided to show us his drifting skills with a, some beater car that they picked up, at a garage sale or something for like $1,000 and going as fast as it would go down these dark sandy gravelly roads. I didn't know those guys that well yet out there. Yeah. And we'd all been having a good time up till this point. And then it was like, yeah, let's go for a cruise. And, I think they were trying to scare me too. And there was a little bit of a language barrier out there too for me, like being lost for the first time. Like
I don't know what you guys are saying.
Had some different lingo. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it was like a trip I'll never forget. It was so much fun. I had a blast. The riding there was like the most insane ever. I mean, Keisha let us hang out and showed us. I mean, we were riding our bikes like to the gas station to go fill them up between rides, riding dirt bikes down to get fish and chips or whatever it was.
And, dude, Cody one? We were in they had like the little kind of hangout shed area, and there was a fucking octopus that he'd caught in this like fish tank, and then he gets this fucking octopus and like just grabs this thing, dude, and it's like just flails over the tank that is just like stuck on all four walls, and he just like rips his fucking octopus out and then just like bites the fucking head of his octopus and like just while this thing's alive and then cooks it. And I was just like, where the fuck are we?
What just happened?
And you just hear it just go like as he pulls his octopus off. I was like, where the fuck are we?
It's like it reminded me of like what it was like to be a pirate.
That's so
they lived
good.
Their own. They had the sickest life going. It was just having fun, riding dirt bikes,
dirt bike fishing, pirates,
dirt bike pirates, just winging it through the dunes, doing whatever. It was awesome.
Yeah, fucking one of the best.
It's something I won't forget. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man, to do that trip down there. And like the gnarliest thing about when you do a trip like that, nothing can actually prepare you for that. Like no one could have told you what you're in for. Like even if they tried to explain it, you're like, all right, so we're going to Mexico and like it's gonna be like this and it's gonna be like that, and you can okay, I get it. I feel like that there's just like not that many words where you could like tell someone what they're in for.
Yeah, no, I mean, not to mention that it's just set in like the most beautiful landscape you've ever seen. Like the water is like clear. And blue, and there's like shipwrecks along the ocean, and we're riding dirt bikes, like literally like making jumps like
off
right
the
on the
shipwreck,
beach.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was it was just an experience. I mean, that those guys were just, hanging out with those guys and experiencing that with them was like just the cherry on top. It was insane.
Yeah, dude. Nah, so true.
That's sick. You would have gone some pretty crazy places. Like dirt bikes have taken you to some pretty,
Dude, Hill's probably like one of the dudes where dirt bikes have taken him the most places. Like, you've probably done the most random shit, I reckon, out of most, like, fuck, I don't know who else has done as much weird shit as you on a bike.
Like, have you done, like, did you do that, like, Supercross in, like, South Africa and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've won Supercross races in 4 continents, dog.
Oh, fuck.
I'm the reigning African Supercross champion.
That is amazing.
That, like, on the, you know, little title right there on the bottom. I didn't get paid for it, but it was sick. I got the check.
Did you get a trophy?
Yeah, I did. It's actually a little trophy too. It's
like, we're good then.
It took me forever to get it because we couldn't get it through customs because I think it has like real... Because
it had spears on it and whatever. Fucking tiger blood.
Like, kudu, like kudu horns or something on it. I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, now I've Supercross Africa, raced a bunch of stuff in Europe, and then I made it down to Australia and raced in Canada. I've raced in New Mexico, Zealand. Mexican Supercross. Now that's like... That's the real deal, Mexican Supercross.
So what happens in Mexican Supercross?
I didn't win
Supercross.
Down there, though.
You didn't win? Who won down there? El Chavo's
Jared
son?
Jared Steinke is the king of Mexican Supercross.
Stank Dog.
Really?
Stank Dog. Yeah. Stank Dog, yeah. Like, it's now that's the gnarliest race experience you'll get.
Tell me about it.
It's pretty nuts. It's this little – well, so the city that we fly into – there's literally a monument there that's like the center of Mexico, like the heart, like it's the most center part of mainland Mexico.
Yep.
And you know, Mexico is super nice on the beaches, but it definitely has some you know, areas that aren't always the safest. But they have this Supercross in Fresnillo, which is about an hour, a couple hours drive from there. So you fly in, you know, it's the middle of Mexico. And you get in a van. This dude picked us up, and then we like would stay. I didn't know what I was getting into. It was like it was on those like retirement. It was one of those things where I would take vacation days for two days from my working job to go race a Supercross, so I could make a little extra money on the side, you know. Like, but I was totally really, you know, not prepared. So we go down there, and they have like a Suzuki team, and they normally they have Mexican dudes down there that race the, you know, they have this motocross series. And so the bikes are, you know, Suzuki's, fairly decent, you know, new Suzuki's, but they've got MX suspension for, you know, probably a quite a bit smaller Mexican rider that it's not a Supercross spec, let's put it that way. And then the track it's just in a big giant like crater in the center of town, and they've went and just like there's dirt steps like cut into it, and you sit in dirt. And then the VIP section, it's like some dudes went out there with some cement and like made like these like 4-foot steps, and it's in a hole, and they string like Christmas lights from like one side to the other, bring in the Takati girls and a couple of big lights on the side, so it's kind of lit up. And it's insane. And then they put on a race, and like there's actually like a lot, like they have an amateur Supercross, and you know, they got every class on up. So it's like Supercross Futures meets Mexican Supercross. And I've got some stuff on my Instagram. I'll have to send it to you guys, but it's pretty insane. The start gate is, you know, you starting gate down the straight, and then about 100 feet out is a lip. And then it's about like an 80, 90 foot, like nobody really does it, but you can do it. And it's like an 80, 90 foot step down hip to the left on the gate. And yeah, it's in this. And luckily, like, I guess my starts are good too, cause I pulled the whole shot, hucked this thing.
Well, there you go.
And it's, yeah, I've got footage of it somewhere, but it's insane. Like, anyways, then when you're done riding, like in between practice and the race, like you just ride your dirt bike down the street, go pick up some whatever you feel like drinking, get some tacos off the street. And we're just literally like me and Stank Dog, we're like riding around, pick up some tequila, grab some cervezas and ride wheelies down the street. Like it was a great place to go after being retired, you know, or being retired for a point.
You're like an expat Supercross rider.
If I was Mitch Payton, I wouldn't be sending my up and comers down there.
Yeah. So it's literally like being Kenny Powers and getting sent down.
Playing in the market.
went down and did some supercross in Mexico, just waiting to get called back up to the majors.
Yeah.
Look at me now. Hey, look at me now.
Exactly what happened.
Which worked out perfect. And then fucking 2020.
I'm based my life off that story.
Dude. All right. This is a new thing.
Hey,
this
now
is like
a... me. I'm doing like, now I'm doing like the media stuff. It's just like the end, you know, we got the sports show. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So worldwide. Worldwide.
Dude, this is dude, this is our new content piece for Gypsy Tales. It's like basically Fuck That's Delicious, except it's Josh Hill riding random supercross races around the world and eating street food, and me, you, and Sam are gonna fucking travel around and do it.
I don't mind that.
Let's hit up the weirdest fucking supercross races that
there's
we can.
There's gotta be ones in like Costa Rica and like
100%
Guam. I got these dudes, it's at their house, they have a pretty sick track, and they're Guatemalan, and they have a track in their, at their house, and lights and everything, string them up, freestyle ramps, and then they invite everybody down to race their race, and it's like a supercross event, like sick. At their
Dude,
house in Guatemala.
We literally have everything races. We need in this room to fucking pull this off. We got... three of us that can have...
we've got everything. There's the three of us.
There's cameras. We got fucking streeters there as well. So there's four of us. That's... we can get a decent bike in four gear bags and the camera shit that we need. And then we just go and make Fuck That Supercross.
Let's do it. Hey, there's...
I'm down. I'm into
it. If you type in on YouTube too, you guys will get a kick out of this one. Like somehow they like hijacked the Australian Supercross tag, but India has a Supercross series as well.
Fuck. See, this is going to happen.
And it's worth a look. Cause I was trying to watch before I went to Australia this year, like before I came over to, you know, do it. I was like, I need to, you know, do my research, do my homework, watch these races, see what the tracks are like, you know? So I just be on my spin bike, just, you know, watching YouTube videos and, you know, and it goes like play next. Like it was like a full 3-hour and 30-minute broadcast of India Supercross.
Wow,
dope as fuck.
And it looks kind of cool. Actually, they got a lot of fans there and like big gate of people. But every jump is a step down. and so it's just like you do like a 180 turn. It's like step down. But you could be like if you had a real bike. For if like you've somehow like
just,
greased
just quad some, everything
some dude he money just... you could literally like you would be the crowd favorite because if you had a bike that ran and you had stiff suspension you could like quad all these things
that's so
and it would
sick.
Be gnarly sick. And then you'd be like you'd be like the hero of all heroes over there. I feel like
we could do this, eh? Like that'd we so for sick. Sure could do this. I wonder, like I'm fucking doing it. Like I'm just gonna book your ticket. We'll make sure there's nothing conflicting, and then we'll do it. We've got a Fist and Dixon sponsorship.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we've got all the Gypsy Tales can take care of the production. So it's like we're fucking pretty much there already, boys. Like this is like,
dude. Do you know where else has a fucking crazy Supercross series?
Where?
Is Indonesia.
Yeah, dude.
So Louis Woods.
Hey, I'm fucking all about Bali, boys. Dude, we can go there whenever.
Louis Woods won a Supercross championship.
Okay, hold
Indonesia.
On. I got an alarm going off. I'm listening.
Someone's trying to steal the fucking 97 bikes that's in his house. Someone trying to jack your Tesla?
I just have this alarm system. It's got like a sensor that's got a dairy or something, so every like 5 hours it just beeps for no reason.
Oh, sick.
That sounds like one of those annoying things you kind of never get around to fixing and you just live with.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Louis Woods won a Supercross title in Indonesia and he won a car.
What?
Yeah, so it's sponsored by Suzuki.
Did he drive it back?
And then like at the last race, they're like, here's your car. And he's like, oh, sick. What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I love just traveling to new places, like trying food, you know, seeing what the whole racing scene's about, like around the world. It's cool. I mean, before I went to Mexico for the Supercross, like I had no idea that they were like, you know, dudes down there. I mean, I knew dudes rode dirt bikes in Mexico, obviously, but I didn't know like in like the, you know, Mexico that full blown like motocross awesome scene like this. And that was really cool. I mean, there was probably 10,000 spectators there. There was probably, really? I mean, there was more spectators at this than, you know, at some races that I've been to that are like, you know, supposed to be high profile races. So
yeah.
Pretty cool. I mean, everybody's wearing knockoff Monster and Fox t-shirts. Yeah. Like sometimes you'll get like the Monster, they're selling like the Monster Rockstar Red Bull Fox Thor tees.
Yeah. Huge vendors. Like you see on Facebook and shit.
Yeah.
They just pumped out every logo.
Yeah, there's just all kinds of black market moto goods down there. It's awesome.
That's fun. Yeah, dude. This is a sick idea. I feel like we could pull this off.
Have you ever been at a weird Supercross like that and there's been people selling like black market Josh Hill merch?
I haven't made it yet. I'm not.
Because like, I feel like that's when you've made it.
I'm not
it.
Like Ken Roczen where like people are making fakes with the fake signature. Like I don't think I ever I'd probably you know, if I thought it was fake, it was probably real and I gave it to him and forgot, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a bench racing topic I thought about. We posted that this clip where like Todd Waters was talking about like how much faster Hurlings was than him at like Lommel on practice days and just like how retarded it was. He said he was literally like 10 seconds a lot faster than him. And like Todd was running like 12th in the world championship. And that made me wonder like, who's the fucking European goat? Because like when you think about...
Stefan Evans.
Yeah, but is he though? Because like you think about...
Of course he is.
Well, this is the question. Because you think like, so this is... I'm not going to throw out an answer just yet. I want to hear from you boys. But you think about like Todd. Todd was getting podiums like a few years ago. And then all of it, like Hurlings and that whole pack, like that, they've just leapfrogged him by so much to where he was like a 12th place dude. But then you look at Caroli, who's got what, 9 titles? So he's one short of Evertz. But think about the generations and the speed that Caroli's had to adapt to. Like, probably way more than Evertz did, right? And it's, again, not taking anything away from Evertz, but it's like, he's won 9 championships, and he's had to deal with literally a completely new, like, a revolution in riding. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, is Caroli the GOAT of Europe?
He's still currently, you know what I mean? He could win the championship this year. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, without a shadow of a doubt. A good point. I mean, it's hard for me to say because I was like 5 years old when Evertz was winning, you know? Like,
yeah,
that's true.
You know, like, I guess pretty much Greg Albertine went in, what, he won like 2 or 3 world championships over there in the 90s, right? In the premier class, the 250 class.
Yeah.
And then when he came to the States, that's kind of when Evertz and Tortelli took over as like the dudes over there.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would say is, for Evertz was racing, there was also 3 classes that you could race. There was 125.
Dude, that's so true.
500.
Yeah.
And like Joel Smets could like, my history, I don't know enough about Euro racing like from back then.
Yeah.
But it seemed like Joel Smets was kind of like pretty gnarly. He could beat Evertz, you know, a good portion of the time. And but they would not always race the same class, I think. So that's kind of another, because it was like it was that mix up of what's the real premier class? Is it the 500 open or is it the 252 stroke?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and then also you'd have guys there with move up rule, so guys would stay like Alessio Chiodi would like stay and just destroy everybody on 125s for years.
Yeah.
So
true, huh?
You're making some,
you know,
good
like
points,
it was
Josh.
Different. Mm. Like, I think now it really is like there's one premier class in GPs. And like, once you're 24 years old, you can't go back to MX2.
Yeah.
You have to race that class. So, I mean, like I said, I wasn't there, so I don't know what's harder, but it would seem that they've funneled everybody into one class now.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you win that one
there's
class,
no doubt,
there's no doubt.
Like, you can't go race the 500 class or the, because you want to get away from somebody. Like,
yeah.
You're racing this
true.
Class.
All right, Caroli's a goat.
So is Caroli the goat then?
I think so.
He's definitely great. I don't know. It's hard for me to be the judge and say, like, I don't want to say who's the GOAT, you know? Mm. I've met both those guys. Like, they're both insane. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Caroli's faster than Everts, you know?
Yeah, right, but now. I mean, but yeah, like,
and his equipment, I mean, it's different too, because the equipment too, in those days was probably so much rougher on your body back then. And I think at one point they had to do 2 45-minute motos, I think, at one point in the GPs.
The fucking
skills, so, I mean, yuck. I don't know. And like, they wouldn't prep the tracks all weekend.
That's right. Europe, they just leave him. Lally.
Some of the tracks had road sections, like Namur, I think, had a road section.
Oh, yeah, Namur in Belgium, I mean, right?
It's comparing apples. The way I look at it, it's comparing apples to oranges. It's almost the same way I look at like, who's faster, Americans or Euros? Mm. It's like, we'd spend 80% of our year racing Supercross, and they spend 20% racing motocross. And they spend 100% race in motocross.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if we had a Supercross world champion, or, you know, a Supercross of nations, like, I'm pretty stoked on our team.
Yeah.
Except
for Anders will clean them all out, and France will win again.
France could still win.
Yeah, dude. They got Marv. France
could still win because they've got
Marv, Dylan, and then
someone else.
They don't even need anyone else at that point.
Well, I mean,
who would be the third French rider? Dude, that Brian Moreau kid was looking so good.
Yeah, he was. He definitely was looking good. I was pumped to race him. He's a good kid. I've been a fan of his for a long time. That was hopefully we get some good news on that. Hopefully he can get some good news, or either that or Elon Musk will fix him.
Fuck right, dude. You getting that Neuronet shit or what? You gonna drop that shit in?
That might get my left leg working again. I don't know.
Maybe.
He had a good sales pitch the other day.
Oi, I do actually feel like, though, Josh, to complete your career, you probably need to go to Europe and race GPs. It's the only thing you haven't done.
Yeah, you need to go loop out in Qatar, bro, and then you've done everything.
That would be that wouldn't be good for me.
Nah, EMX, bro, get in with those kids on a two-stroke.
Again, like, it still wouldn't be good for me. It worked. Like, if I got in the top 10 in the slowest class there, I'd probably be pumped.
Yeah. So while we're doing predictions, I want Josh Hill's predictions for the Monster Energy Supercross season 2020. Whoa. Who's winning each class and why?
And you can't choose yourself.
I'll choose Hill.
I don't even
with seven rounds left, I don't think I'm still even mathematically in it.
Fuck that shit. We can change some rules.
Who's gonna win?
Yeah, 450 class.
You know, I guess, like we just talked about this, it depends on where they have it. I think that really does have a huge, huge factor in it, in where they have it. I think, again, like I said, if it's Salt Lake, I'm going to go, if it's Salt Lake at all of them, I'm going to say Tomac's going to win the 450. McElrath is going to win 250 East. Because he's got a fast bike and it's high altitude.
Yeah.
He trains, does all his stuff on the West Coast. He's been a West Coast guy his whole life. That's a West Coast track. I'm going McElrath. And then Ferrandis, I'm going to say no matter where they put it, I'm still kind of putting my money on, you know, him unless something funky happens.
Yeah.
So, and then if you go back, I don't know. I guess if you go to Phoenix, it's kind of, I would say even the same thing. I think seven rounds in Phoenix, I think McElrath would give him the nod. I think he's 8 points down or something like that, 9 points down. Everybody's forgetting it's still pretty tight. It is tight.
It is. Yeah.
But then I might have to go with Roczen at Phoenix just because of how dominant he was this year. And Eli has had some up and down races there.
Yeah. Can you physically see, like, to me, it looks like the reason why you see, Like, I feel like Eli just has one speed and it's fast as absolute fuck. Like, that's literally, when he gets on the bike, that's it. It's going as ham as he possibly can, and he's going to blow through shit. The throttle's going to be wide open. He's going to be steering it with the rear, and it's like, that's it. And it either works to the point where nobody can touch him, or it doesn't work at all because he's literally trying to go too fast. Well, it's trying to go too fast for what the track can allow. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, Tomac wants to go faster than his tires will allow him to stick to the dirt, you know? Like,
yeah.
And Kenny is more, I think everybody will be like, oh, you know, Tomac's not that talented, or, you know, I've heard people say that, and I think that's the dumbest thing ever.
That's retarded.
That guy has days where he does things that are insanely, like, the way he stands up through, like, deep ruts and carries momentum, and the way, like, he'll do jumps that nobody else thought about doing that day. Like, he has those James Stewart moments.
Yeah, he just doesn't look the same doing it.
And then Kenny, I swear, Kenny is better now that he's had his injury. Because Kenny now, and I felt the same thing with myself, like, when I got hurt, is you find out how to ride smoother when you're trying to protect something. And then if you do that long enough and enough times, like, you almost can find better techniques of riding the bike. And Kenny, for as bad as his injury was, he's had to, I think, adapt, and his techniques, like, almost is better than it was before he got hurt. I mean, in my opinion, watching him, he's less sporadic. Like, everything he does, he carries momentum. I'm sure he does that way the same way. I don't see it that me getting hurt was bead, but
yeah,
he's overcame it seems like, and almost, like, I think he's almost more solid than he ever was.
Yeah, well, you got to think, like, so, too, the mental
I mean, it can go both ways too, but yeah. I think you put him on a real slippery, hard packed track 7 weekends and tend to a guy that is used to riding a little bit within himself.
Yeah,
you know, like, if Tomac's probably training and going hard as he can all the time. I mean, I don't know him that well to know his training program, but I assume he's just, like, hammering, you know? Like,
yeah.
Think about him up in Colorado just slamming into stuff and going crazy and just finding all this new raw speed. And then I would assume that Ken's probably just riding, being super smooth and gaining, like, you know, a tenth every day, possibly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or, like, that's what he's shooting for.
Yeah. So,
yeah, when you get on a slick track, the more aggressive style tends to bite people.
Yeah.
And I think slick tracks are harder to pass on.
Yeah.
So can't get really. That's probably the main reason why I would give, if it's in Phoenix, he would on paper have the nod.
Gonna be sick.
But then also Tomac just kind of destroyed it. Like, Tomac at Daytona was one of the most badass rides of all time.
And Tomac at Daytona this year?
At one point, yeah. Like, I was watching on the stands just, like, after my race, just in my gear, still watching, just, like, with my jaw out. Like, it was pretty insane how good he rode. That's why I get, like, the way he rode there, like, that's the most technical track in Supercross, like, for, you know, yeah, in different ways with ruts and bumps and all that kind of stuff and being slippery.
And not to mention you can't see that good.
Yeah, it's not the best. And there's,
it's
all,
not like,
and
super bright, man.
Because there's, like, well, there's, like, five, it's not the lighting, I've realized. It's, they have all that dark dirt.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you, like, mix the
reflect
the,
off,
yeah,
like, yeah, the, normally, the, like, if the dirt was, like, a red clay, that place would seem like it was lit up awesome, but because it's, like, a real dark dirt, but they have, like, five different types of dirt. So that makes it hard too, because you can't, yeah, tell, like, you forget where there's traction and where there isn't. But he was insane there. So we'll see. And then Cooper, just include spoiler, because, you know, that guy is not going to give up, and he's got nothing and everything to gain. So
yeah,
that could be also a huge factor. And I mean, like, I got to say, like, I'm a Cooper Webb fan. Like, that guy goes for it. The way he rides, and I mean, he had the season, they stomp, yeah, it's pretty sick.
Yeah, dude, totally. Well, we'll wrap this show up. This is been Gypsy Tales worldwide with Joe Hill, Sam Moore, and Guy Streeter doing the switching. And Joe Hill is welcome back on this show as the, I feel like you're just like...
No, he's the correspondent. Yeah, you're That's like... what we said last time. Yeah, he's the foreign correspondent. Yeah.
Joe Hill is our US correspondent going forward for Gypsy Tales worldwide. Have we still got you there, Joe Hill? Have we still got you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here live from the scene.
All right, we're gonna cross to Joe Hill here in a minute. So yeah, I feel like we're gonna need you to call in live from the pits after Supercross 2. So we'll get you in for Supercross Companion.
I'll just be like, I'll do it just when the juicy going on. Like if there's like a fun in the pits, or there's some bums doing something like shady around the backside, like I'll come in live. Like we're not gonna like you guys don't want the mainstream stuff, right?
No.
We want the proper.
You
want to
know what's really
shit.
Like what's happening around the scene. Not
give me give me the juice.
We don't want the actual scene. We want the things around the scene.
Hey, Gypsy Tales. Gypsy Tales.
What's
worldwide.
Going on in the parking lot? Yeah.
Awesome. Who drank the most amount of beers out tailgating?
Just we're just straight chasing bougie shit, bro.
Like that note. What's that all gas show? Have you guys seen that?
No, what's that?
Where the guy just goes to like raves and interviews people, just like the most like destroyed.
I don't know, but it sounds right up our alley.
I'll send it to you. It's great.
Well, look, some great shit's come out of this show. We've got a new show coming in 2021 whenever borders open. It's called Fuck That Supercross. It'll be featuring Joe Hill. We'll be tearing down a YZF 250,
putting it in
four gear bags
and going around the world.
And then we're fucking Gypsy Tales on tour. thanks for coming, bro. It's been sick. Hopefully this shit recorded because this was fun as fuck.
Hey, worst case, you gotta do it again.
Cheers, brother. Good to see ya.
Alright, see you, dude.
Alright, see you guys.
The man.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.